In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
And this is Mike.
And, of course, we are, for those of you who don't know, we've said it many times, we say it all the time, we say it in the intro, that we're from the North Valley of California.
Yeah, Upper Central and, Cali.
Yeah, and yet again, the northern part of California, in fact, most of California, is on fire!
Yep. We're just going to have our regular disasters happen during all the rest of the extra crazy disasters at the same time.
I mean, you walk outside and it looks like it's some post-apocalyptic James Cameron-esque night sky, day sky, whatever. There's fine layer of ash that comes down on all your stuff in the morning, and it's like, what the hell? The sun is red.
Yep.
And it feels like you're at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it feels like it's 6 o'clock because of all of the heavy cloud cover. And it's not like, well, the other day it was productive cloud cover. I mean, we got some spurts of rain, and then the freaking lightning storm that touched off all of these massive fires that are dislocating people and burning the crap out of the state of California.
What in the apocalypse is happening right now?
Seriously, I'm starting to fully believe that evangelical Christians may be right in their thoughts that the end time is finally here. I mean, what happened to Australia this year?
Yeah.
We have the pandemic. I mean, I don't know what other signs I guess we need to have. Maybe they're right. I don't want to believe it because I'd like to live a little bit longer, but this is almost enough to start getting me convinced.
I mean,
crazy.
Yeah, I'm curious if that if I remember right, like at the beginning of this is supposed to start off with a rapture, right? Before bullshit goes down. If you really think about it, just food for thought here, we did have like a mass exodus and death of multiple major celebrities that were absolutely beloved for the last like 3 or 4 years, like heroes.
So instead of what you're postulating is that the supposed Revelations rapture wasn't a singular event that happened at one moment.
No, it
happened. Maybe a multi-year event.
Yep.
So you're talking like
that means
Lemmy and Bowie were raptured.
Yes, like Prince, even Prince. I know Prince died of an OD, but like Prince, Bowie, Lemmy, Neil Peart, like all of them.
let's be serious. The Lemmy one was definitely one of the weirdest ones.
Yeah, that blew me away.
Prince OD'd. Okay, fine. Didn't David Bowie have like lung cancer or something? Or
he had some kind of cancer. He died of cancer.
Which wouldn't be surprising because he had done a lot of substances in his life.
Yeah.
So then I'm sure any organ in his body would be damaged. But like Lemmy. If Lemmy would have died of stomach cancer, totally believe that.
Yeah.
If Lemmy would have died because his liver like exploded, I completely would have believed that. In fact, I expected that to happen.
Oh yeah.
Or his kidneys also exploded, or like all of them at once, liver, kidneys.
Yeah.
Gigantic explosion at one time.
Yeah, Lemmy should have just spontaneously combusted.
That I would have expected. But for him to die of brain cancer,
that
it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
You're like, wait a minute, that guy smoked like a chimney and drank like nuclear fish.
Was it the meth? I guess it was the meth. I don't know. I mean,
I thought that the mole would have had something to do with it, but his brain?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, maybe the mole turned into something cancerous, and like half its face became cancer and had to be removed, and then like, I mean, something like that would have also made sense. Or venereal disease.
That would have made sense too.
But brain cancer is a little like, what the hell happened there?
Yeah, no, total freaking phenomenon. And if you remember, he was at the tail end of 2014. He died in December 2014. And then all the rest of what happened in 2015, where everybody starts dying.
So you're saying this was a 5-year plan of 5 or 6 year plan of a rapture? I think that's stretching it a little bit. But then again, according to Genesis, if we're going to go by this,
right?
I mean, 6 days to create the world, rest on the seventh. Maybe days don't mean the same thing to the God of Christianity. Maybe true. It's a different thing.
True, could be. Let me be
clear. Also, not only the God of Christianity, but the God of Judaism, and technically speaking, the God of Islam, because they all recognize Genesis as the book of creation. So I just want to be.
What's the terminology? The Abrahamic God? Is that what it's called?
Yes. The Abrahamic God. That would be the appropriate way to do it. I'm proud of you for knowing that.
Thank you.
I am. I mean, I would think I'm a little bit more of the religiously educated of the two of us, but that's good for you to know that.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's actually kind of an inspiration of some of the things I wanted to talk about today.
Oh, really? Okay.
Which is funny. Not specifically about the Abrahamic faiths, but about some people would consider them pre-Abrahamic faiths, mythology in our culture and how we're dealing with modern mythology. We'll get into that a little bit later. We're just doing our little update thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess it's been a crazy 5 or 6 years, although one could say it's been especially crazy the last 4 or so of it.
Many would agree with you. Yes.
Yeah. It's been a lot of weird upheaval and strangeness happening, and a lot more hate spewing forth from people than what we've experienced in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not saying ever, because I mean, there were some pretty hateful times back in the day. I mean, if I was to say that we have the most hateful times happening right now, I think the people during the Spanish Inquisition would be a little bit disagreeing with me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're not having quite that kind of problems, but still, we're having a pretty good time for a while, and more hate has spilled forth than kind of what was spilling before. But and I think also made more visible. That's one of the things. I may be wrong in my assumption that it's spilled forth even more. I think maybe we're looking at the fact that it's just so much more visible. Like I love talking to people of the boomer generation that talk about how children are abducted so much more often now than what they used to be, and it's like no, the numbers have proven that they're actually abducted considerably less than what they used to be. Mm-hmm. And the majority of abductors of children at this point are family members. That's the vast majority. Mm-hmm. Children used to be abducted a whole lot more back in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. The difference is we have a 24-hour news cycle that really didn't exist until the 1980s. Thank you, Ted Turner. And having this 24-hour news cycle that is literally people looking for updates on news by the minute. They're not waiting till 7 o'clock at night to get their news update. They want updates immediately. I mean, how angry do you get nowadays when a news story breaks and you're searching for the information and you bring it up on your search, you know, you Google search the information, and it takes 15, 20, 30 minutes for all the news outlets to pick it up. And you're trying to get more mm-hmm. information. You only get little spots of it. And it's like, I can't wait. I need to know. And you're constantly refreshing your page to see what new information has come out. Or when you get it, you see on Facebook that a celebrity has died and you're like, damn, I need to Google this. Did this person really die, or is this just a damn hoax again? And if you don't get results immediately, you're pissed now. It used to be like you'd wait to hear the news at night to let you know that somebody died. Well, no, people want to know now.
Yeah.
And the immediacy of that, and the fact that a story, unless a story is huge, it doesn't it doesn't last for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks like it used to.
Yeah, exactly.
And we just want the information now as quickly as possible, and then we process onto the next piece of information. I think we're just seeing it more. I don't think it's necessarily happening more. Plus, we have so many things in play that stop these things from happening on the level that it used to. I mean, kid, especially poor kid used to get abducted. Parents would call the police, right? Their kid's missing, their kid's gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, well, the police might do something. If it was somebody, it was a kid that, you know, whose family people actually cared about, it'll hit the news. You know, like Charles Lindbergh, that hits the news because everybody cares about Charles Lindbergh. all the other babies that get abducted, nobody cares about. You know, the poor family gets their baby abducted, nobody cares about that
oh, man.
Family. So
who else was in the 70s? I'm trying. Oh, Patty Hearst.
Yeah, yeah,
that was another one too. Yeah, sorry, I'm finding other examples. I wanted to throw that one in there too. That was insane too.
That goes on the news everywhere. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Now anybody with a smartphone, which is everybody nowadays.
Yeah.
You got a camera in your phone. You got uplink to the internet. You can post anything however you want for people to pay attention to. And admittedly, if you're just doing a rinky dink podcast here in Northern California talking about, you know, a micro generation that many people argue doesn't even exist. They're wrong, but still, we're not doing anything on here that's necessarily controversial enough, or in some ways, I'll even admit it, important enough to be blasted everywhere. I wish more people would listen. I would like more people to listen, but we're not doing that salacious type stuff. If you got kids being abducted, you can post that crap everywhere and have it out all over the place. Facebook has pages to do alerts like that. Your Amber alerts, your various things. They have programs in place that didn't exist back then.
Yeah.
And so even the poor sect of society, this is the part of society that is most often overlooked historically, has the capability now to get that stuff out to be seen in a way that it never existed in the rest of our history of all of humanity. Going all the way back, we have a way to get things out into the public eye so much better now. And admittedly, the rich people still get paid more attention to. I guarantee that the Kardashian family has never had as deep and meaningful conversations as you and I have had, but people will pay attention to them because they're rich and famous and celebrities, and that's all that is cared about. They can have the most vapid conversations. I don't know what they talk about because I have been lucky to have never watched a single episode of any of their things. I mean, I feel very blessed for that. But the thing is, they can just do the stupidest crap, and people are going to pay attention to it because they're celebrities. Okay, yeah. Fine. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the opportunity to have our voices and the voices of the countless millions and billions of people who normally would have not been listened to at all, would have had no outlet. At least we finally have an outlet with our internet culture. That gives us something, some way to put it out there. And so it's something that if it was more prevalent, believe me, we would hear about it because we hear more about it. And that's the thing, is we're not having these things much more prevalent than they used to be. We're just hearing about them. We're seeing them. When we look at some of the things that were inspiring the protests and riots of this year,
mm-hmm.
when it came to police brutality, this isn't about the fact that there's more police brutality. No, this is about the fact that we can see the police brutality. The reason that Rodney King and the Rodney King video blew up so big and created the cultural milestone that it did was because it was a video. It was somebody videotaping this thing happening and putting that video out for the nation and eventually the world to see.
How did I can't quite remember, because how did that footage ended up making it out to where people saw it? Because it was like public released footage that showed up on the news. Was it a local LA station that got the tape from somebody that videotaped it?
I'm unsure exactly how the tape got moved around in that scenario.
Yeah, as soon as it hits one network, it's hitting them all, right? But I mean, at least that was the culture at the time. But that's what used to happen. Although I am curious, like, you're right, especially in the fact that this information can go can spread as quickly. And so you kind of have this idea that there's somewhat this idea about this increased vigilance by the general public, because one person can blast out a missing child report or something like that, or an unseemly police happening, right? And it can make public information immediately, unfiltered. That is honestly one of the biggest benefits that I see from social media, period. It is the fact that people can communicate direct emergencies in real time, immediately, to anyone that they know, pretty much. And those people can then spread the word on a national or damn near global level in the blink of an eye. It can happen immediately. And
I think that's part of the point, is that, like, when it comes down to police brutality, we're not necessarily seeing, and I wouldn't say for sure we're seeing an uptick in the police brutality stuff or those type of things. We're just finally seeing the visibility of it.
Yeah,
we're not seeing an uptick in any necessarily violent crimes. We're seeing it far more visible than what it was before.
Yeah.
Although we are seeing a uptick in mass shooter crimes, but I think that has a whole different thing to do with. I think that has to do with the fact that it's a lot easier to do a mass shooter crime, to have these mass shooter events, when you have weapons that are capable of shooting large amounts of ammunition in a small amount of time. When you're limited by your ammunition, I mean, back in colonial days of this country, you're kind of limited by the fact that you get one shot and then you have to, pour in some gunpowder, put another ball in, and then you can try to fire again. I mean, you're talking a single shot weapon
that takes a minute.
Yeah. You have a minute to reload that thing. So there's only so many shots you can get off at a time. It's hard to have a mass shooting event with that kind of a situation.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you have a weapon that has a magazine capable of a certain, number of bullets, and I'm not a gun expert, so I don't know how many bullets each weapon would hold in its magazine. But regardless, the more firepower you have at your disposal, the more bullets you can fire in a shorter period of time, the more people that you can shoot at, the more of a mass shooting event you can have. And I want to say, I'm not trying to... if you're thinking so, I'm not trying to stake a specific point about gun availability or gun control. I'm just saying, and I have my feelings on that, but we're not talking about those today.
Right.
I'm just saying, the fact that there is the availability of weapons that have a higher rate of fire and a higher magazine count, that's what makes us see an uptick in mass shootings, because it makes it capable for you to do a mass shooting.
Right.
You can't do one with a revolver. You only get six shots at a time and then you have to reload. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
up until essentially what you're talking about here is, as far as, just to make sure that things are clear, this is not an expression of opinion. This is not an agenda. This is just a presentation, essentially, of information, and the simple fact that technology in itself has evolved, including technology in arms, and technology in arms that is available to the public that allows these things to happen. So therefore, as a result, you tend to see these issues happen more often.
Yeah, I mean, before you had cars that could reach that could go over like 30 miles an hour.
Right.
You never had a high speed chase, and you never had high speed accidents, because you didn't have cars that were capable of reaching the high speeds to have those accidents. High speed accident back in the early days of cars was a 25 mile an hour accident, not 85 mile an hour accident, because it just wasn't capable. So yeah, I'm not speaking an agenda. I'm just saying, it's hard to have a mass shooting when you don't have a weapon that can shoot out the amounts.
Right. Totally.
That would be necessary for that to happen.
No,
Again, not speaking.
Yeah,
not
it's just an attribute of the technology itself. And
that's
not necessarily saying anything against the capability of the society that is in. I kind of want to avoid that.
If somebody wanted to have an actual conversation with me about my personal feelings of Americans' access to firearms and what we should and shouldn't be able to have, and what certain amendments of the Constitution may or may not mean, and their purpose and all of that, a lot of people have their opinions on it, and I would be more than glad in a one-on-one to discuss those type of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not the platform I'm trying to have here today. I'm not trying to advocate for or against owning firearms.
Yeah. I'm on the same boat with you in that. Absolutely. I'm right there with you.
I'll have that conversation in person, but that's not the case here. All I'm saying is the fact that those weapons exist make it so you can have that event happen. Before those weapons existed, you couldn't have that event regardless. I mean, even in the case of, again, going back to colonial times, you have, and I'm using that because I at least know the weapons of that time were single shot weapons.
Right.
You're only gonna get so many shots a time. That's why you got all these soldiers lining up in these rows and lines, firing their shots and then having to reload and fire again.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody's seen any movie that has to do with the Revolutionary War, seen any British redcoats, that's what they're doing. They're standing in lines and firing at each other. And the invention of more automatic weapons, even going into the Civil War, where a lot of the weapons were still the single shot weapons, but then you had the invention of like the Gatling gun, which would have been it was a stationary gun, but it was still a high rate of fire gun. That completely changes the landscape of warfare, because now you have something that has a high rate of fire to be able to, instead of one bullet at a time, one bullet reload. No, we're just going to spray a whole bunch of bullets into this situation. And it changes the way that weapons work and the way that people are killed by the weapons. And so that's all I'm talking about, is the technological differences and things.
Yep.
And again, that coincides with what you were saying earlier, the fact that we have the capability of filming these things that are happening on an immediate basis, uploading these things. Everybody can be, in a sense, somebody that breaks news and delivers news where public can see it. This gives us, in some ways, a better chance at, I think, a safer society, because a camera can be on you at all times. And it's been proven that if somebody's not watching what you're doing at all times, the majority of people are going to be breaking the law. I mean, let's be honest here. How many people do we know? How many times have we done it ourselves? There's no cop around. We're not necessarily obeying the speed limit, are we?
Right.
You know, we're in a hurry. We'll edge the speed limit looking for cops. I've seen many a people. The ones I find the most amusing are the ones that have actual police department stickers on their, bumper stickers on their vehicles, or the Punisher logo with the blue line on it. I in fact saw a vehicle with that on it today, and I was in a 35 zone driving. And I'm going somewhere between 35 and 40. I usually edge about 5 miles over the speed limit just to kind of keep with the flow of things.
Yeah.
And he was behind me for a little bit until we turned from one road onto another road. And that road was a 2-lane road that we turned onto. And he zoomed past me. And I'm going about 40, and he's just jetting past me. And I'm like, okay, you got stickers on your car, huge ones saying that you support police. And hey, that's great to have your sticker showing you're supporting police. You know, I'm all for, if you support something and you want to put your sticker on your car, you're letting people know the things that you love and care about. But like, if you're supporting police, why are you breaking the law that they're then going to have to enforce?
Right.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, exactly. It's a little,
it makes absolutely no sense to me that you'd be saying, hey, I support the police, let me go break a law.
It's right.
Like, why? I don't get this. This doesn't, compute in my head. But, the thing is, if the eyes aren't on you all the time, if somebody's not watching you all the time, people have a tendency to fudge and not follow all the rules or follow all the laws. And that's kind of been a proven thing over, again, human history. That's kind of how those things always work. If somebody's watching you, you mind your P's and Q's. If somebody's not watching you, you have a tendency maybe to not mind them as much. I'm not saying that there aren't those people that have control. Again, I'm more than glad to say that, I go about 3 to 5 miles over the speed limit almost every time I'm driving. That's as far as I go. I don't go any faster than that. Most of that is because in the past I have been caught for speeding tickets and I don't want to pay for them again. But I self-regulate myself. I do self-regulation. Hey, last speeding ticket I got, I will say, was like 20 years ago. So it's been 20 years of
Okay, that's a good decent amount of time. Limit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been half my life basically sticking to the speed limit, and more than half my driving life. I'd only been driving for like 3 years, 4 years when I got my last speeding ticket.
Okay, well, you can't necessarily like, I would say this, like who you are as a person nowadays.
Well, no, that's the thing is, even since I got those speeding tickets, I self-regulate. I can do that. And some things I'm really good at. I'm really good at self-regulating when it comes to, you know, breaking laws, those kinds of things. When it comes to food, I have no regulation whatsoever. I just eat whatever the hell I want. I'm not saying I'm perfect in any way. I have my areas of faults. Some areas I can regulate better on. I mean, you got these people that, you know, they may be in perfect shape because they eat all the healthy things they need to. They exercise the amount they should every day. They don't drink. They don't do drugs. They don't do this other stuff. But they get behind the wheel of their car and they go, you know, 80 miles an hour wherever they're going. So in a portion of their life that I surely can't regulate, the eating healthy and the exercise and all of that, they're doing leaps and bounds above what I can do.
Oh yeah.
But they can't regulate themselves to keep to the laws of the road as far as speed limit goes. So, you know, each person has their own areas in that, but again, having some kind of accountability, having the knowledge that there is somebody watching maybe the things that you're doing. I don't know. I think that does lend to people behaving a little bit better. A little more appropriately. There's been studies about this. And I think the idea that anybody and everybody around you has their phone, has their camera, has the ability to film, it still hasn't stopped people from doing terrible and bad things. But I think the fact that it's being brought to light more and more is maybe making people think twice. I know that there's been a lot of people that have seen videos of themselves online and doing and saying kind of not so good things, mm-hmm. and they have been very remorseful afterwards, not mm-hmm. realizing in the moment what kind of a fool they were making of themselves. And yeah. I mean, I do think that at some point or another, we do need to give people credit when they admit their fault and admit they're wrong. At least they're doing well enough to admit where they've made a mistake. We should, you know, we should at least acknowledge that for them. But anyway, we've run far afield. Anyway, I think now's a good time for a break. Okay. After the break, I'll kind of whet people's appetite at this point. I was doing a rewatch since my wife has once again rewatched Grey's Anatomy and Gilmore Girls. For like each one of those, I think I've seen 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. Grey's Anatomy is like 15 seasons. And when it's being like binge watched every single moment of every day until it's over, it can be brain numbing at different points in times. And then to go right from that into Gilmore Girls. Admittedly, I have no problem saying I actually am a fan of Gilmore Girls. It's hilarious. It's a very funny show. I'm not saying go watch it. I'm not sure if you could handle it or not, but, I find it amusing. I enjoy watching it.
Oh, good.
Have you ever even seen it before?
I've honestly like never sat and watched it. I never really have. I don't think that there'd be anything particularly bad about the show. It'd probably be pretty enjoyable. I just never saw it.
I don't know if you would be you'd probably end up being bored. I know what's coming okay. in the show because I've seen it so many times. It's definitely tailored for a female audience, not a male audience.
Okay.
So I don't know how much interest you would necessarily have in it, because I mean it's really really tailored for a female audience.
Okay.
But I just find it amusing because there's some funny cameos, some actors starting out in that didn't have roles before, so it's kind of interesting to see that the roles they have in there. But anyway, after having those two marathons again, I convinced my wife to watch something different instead of going back to Grey's Anatomy yet again. Which, by the way, there's been psychological studies that prove that it's actually comforting to rewatch shows that you've seen before. It can help you get kind of order the chaos in your life. You've seen the show, you already know what to expect, so it's not like there's any surprises coming.
Yeah.
And it can help kind of ground and center you. And in our troubling times right now where everything is kind of off kilter, having something that can ground and center you is actually a very helpful thing. It can be really good for your mental health. So I'm not knocking the idea of rewatching shows. If a show makes you happy, if it feels good for you to watch it, rewatch the damn thing as much as you want to.
Yeah.
But there are times when you're when your significant other or anybody else living in the house might get a little tired, so you want to change it up. My wife was nice enough to change it up this this week and start watching the CWDC series again. I had watched them completely. She had watched portions of them, but she's undertaking the task of watching them again, starting with Arrow and then into The Flash, and then we'll add Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow as they come, as the characters are introduced into the story.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But, yeah, because we were watching Arrow last night, and they had just introduced Barry Allen. And then I said, well, now we need to start watching The Flash. And she's like, okay. So we started watching The Flash. And I was just thinking about the fact that, you know, the CW DC universe had both a lot of people really happy with it and then a lot of people really upset with it. And most of the reason for them being upset is the standard nerd reason for being upset about anything. Well, that's not how it was in the comics.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing. This has precedence.
Right.
Different versions of stories being told about the same characters. This has precedence. And I'm going to talk about that with the kind of backdrop of ancient mythology. So,
oh, cool.
We'll be back in just a minute to have that discussion.
Yeah.
I hope y'all will keep listening.
See you in a bit. Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we're back.
Hey.
So, like I said, for the break,
yes,
we started rewatching the CW DC universe,
mm-hmm.
which I would say the only downside to the CW DC universe is they were due to, I'm sure, all the different licensing things involved and the issues involved. They were never quite able to bring in a real Batman. I mean, it was during that time period that the show Gotham ended up coming on, which in its own right was a very good introductory Batman story.
Right.
More of a Jim Gordon story, but still an introductory Batman story.
Right.
But they compensated for that by kind of changing up the character of Green Arrow. Green Arrow is a lot more of a dark, brooding character. He's connected to what is referred to in the CW shows as the League of Assassins, as opposed to League of Shadows. He ends up getting connected in with that at different points in time.
Okay.
But he's much more dark and brooding than the, especially when he's in the Green Arrow persona, he's much more dark and brooding, which is not really a hallmark of the Green Arrow. Green Arrow was a little bit more, quippy. You know, a little bit more
right.
personable. And
yeah, that's kind of his thing that I always thought of him as.
Yeah, and so this, the Green Arrow in this is kind of an amalgamation of the Green Arrow character and the Batman character to give it some kind of, you know, gravity, some kind of, you know,
right.
deepness and darkness to it. Because again, Green Arrow by himself is just kind of, he's more of a lighthearted type addition to.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like Oliver Queen is Bruce Wayne light.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Think about it. He's, you know, his family lived longer than what Bruce Wayne's did. He actually has
right.
more family. He's got a sister and he's got, you know, so he's like a what's the words I want to use? If Bruce Wayne is like the goth kid, Oliver Queen is kind of more the punk kid. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Little bit of dark.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, he'll make his own earrings with a safety pin, but he's not like cutting himself. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know. I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's typically the difference. But again, I mean, that's the best analogy I can come up with. Really,
that works. That works. It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, little goth Bruce Wayne wears long sleeves because he's hiding the cutting scars.
Right.
And, you know, little punk Oliver Queen. He's got the bright green mohawk going on, has a safety pin through his ear. But like, even when he did the safety pin through his ear, he had to hold ice up to it for like 15 minutes. And he still cried when he saw the blood. So, I mean, that's kind of, but he won't tell anybody that. He won't tell anybody.
Okay.
That.
So this is okay. This depends upon level of punk that you're talking about. Then we're not talking like Black Flag level. We're talking a bit more MCR, I guess.
Green Day.
Okay. Okay.
Green Day level, yeah. So anyway, they added some of those elements. Again, the arrow in this is more of a, he's an amalgamation of Batman and Green Arrow.
Cool.
They throw in the Flash, which interestingly, this version of the Flash has dark hair.
Okay.
I'm not hearing you get angry yet. I'm surprised.
No,
He's got dark hair.
Okay.
Huh?
I don't get. Okay, but yeah, keep going.
So you end up getting Supergirl thrown into the mix,
right?
Because again, Superman, even though Superman makes appearances in the Supergirl, they got a really good actor, by the way, to play the Superman in the CWDC stuff. Of course, later near the end of the run of the CWDC stuff, where they finally did the Crisis event, they got a bunch of good actors to come in and play a bunch of cool stuff. And we discussed that. Kevin Conroy comes in and plays an aging Batman.
Yes.
You get Burt Ward coming in at one point to play and he does play Dick Grayson, right?
Oh, he plays Dick Grayson,
I actually haven't seen the event because I hadn't watched all the episodes up to it. And because I had watched so much of it, I wanted to make sure I saw everything before I got to the actual event.
Oh, it's okay. So what ended up happening with me was we didn't learn about the CW being a streaming service because we don't have local TV where we're at. We just don't have an antenna that'll hold up a decent signal. So we ended up having problems with being able to see all of them on CW. What I've seen is I've seen Batwoman up to a certain point. I can't see the entire season. That's the part that sucks because it only shows like 5 or 6 episodes in a single season. And the problem is because Crisis is supposed to be coming out either on Netflix or they're going to be selling the Blu-ray or something like that later this year, they pulled like the final 2 or 3 episodes from Crisis. The final ones. So I've seen like the first 3 episodes and I missed the final ones. So I haven't seen it end.
For all the crossover events, you have to go to the multiple shows, which is a genius marketing, by the way.
Oh, yeah. So they literally made, they've done this before. I guess they did.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
They've done Elseworlds. They've done a bunch of the crossover events. And every time you start on like, you start in Arrow and then you have to watch one episode of Arrow. Then you watch an episode of Flash, then an episode of Supergirl, then an episode of Legend of Tomorrow.
Right.
And you get all the various pieces by watching all of those episodes, and they just take off from one another. And I mean, it's the marketing thing that they did in this is akin to the way that the Marvel Cinematic Universe put all of their movies together.
Yeah.
And the fact that they really worked hard to get these storylines to work and gel. This is, other than the animated stuff that DC has done, which their animated division is above and beyond any other comic book animated stuff ever done.
Yeah.
This is the most cohesive thing that DC has ever done. They attempted to do it with the cinematic universe and failed. This they did very, very well by keeping it all intercontained. And I mean, they come out with some very major villains. I mean, you get Deathstroke almost immediately, which for our Teen Titans fans is a big deal.
Oh yes.
As we're going through this, and you know, I'm mentioning some of the things to you. Like again, you have Supergirl that comes in, and you get a version of Superman. Later, you get multiple Supermans, and they're all old actors that have played Superman.
Oh yes, it's so
nice
good
to see them do it.
Those parts I've seen.
You get Tom Welling back. You get Brandon Routh.
Yep.
Which is great for, and Brandon Routh was already within the series playing a different part.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see him be able to do the Superman part again, something that almost tanked his career completely.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of interesting things that they do, but again, you still hear the same outcry, and I would hear the outcry of, you know, this isn't how it was in the comics. Barry Allen, for instance, having dark hair. Barry Allen has always had blonde hair. Always. Iris West. Not always African American, but is in the TV series, in the CW series.
Ah, okay.
I mean, there's a lot of additional things that, or maybe she was. Maybe Iris West was always African American. I'm not sure now.
I don't think Iris West was. No.
But anyway, there obviously has to be changes that happen throughout these continuities, and people get really up in arms whenever they see anything in the, I mean, we can even take it to the DC movies, since this is the series inspired me originally to have this thought, but even the DC movies, the recent movies, Aquaman also not blonde. Which is, I think, better. I think it's better that he's represented by somebody that has Pacific Islander heritage, because that makes a little bit more sense for him to live under the sea. But then again, you watch the Aquaman movie, and everybody else he got his Pacific Islander heritage from his human father. All the people living under the sea are still kind of the light-haired and light-skinned, and it's like, okay. But you see these changes happening, these variations on things, and people get a little bit upset. Jimmy Olsen makes an appearance in the Supergirl series, and he is African American. There was some blowback from that happening, and not because we've taken a character that was traditionally white and had an African American actor instead, but because it's the thing that their rationale is, what they argue is, it's not the same as the comics. And here's the thing. If we look back to our ancient mythologies, our Roman mythology, our Norse mythology, our Greek mythology, these characters that have been used in stories and movies and TV shows and cartoons and all these various things through all this, through a couple thousand years here, every iteration of those stories has a slight change depending on the time frame that it's told in. They undergo a little bit of metamorphosis. They don't stay the exact same. Sometimes the stories are outright completely changed for the benefit of creating a story that works for the modern audience, the specific modern audience accepting it. And that's what I think our comic book heroes are in very real ways. The DC comics, the Marvel comics, hell, even our big movie franchises like Star Wars, we'll throw that in there. And yes, it's in the comics too. Star Wars is. These are all mythological stories of our modern era.
Yeah.
And when they're retold again, changes are made that change the aspect of it. And they're done, I think, for the reason of making things more amenable to the specific audience of the time. And I'll use the example, Greek mythology. Hercules is a fantastic example to me, because I'm very familiar with the labors of Hercules. I remember reading those as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that that Hercules killed his wife at one point. I don't know if you knew about that.
Nope.
He was forced to wear a coat that basically caused him unending pain all the time, and in a rage, he killed his wife. During that time period, there's many, many tales of Hercules that come from the ancient Greek times. But then you have all the movie adaptations, and heck, you can go to Jason and the Argonauts. Technically, Hercules was part of the Jason and the Argonauts story.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Hercules is a cultural thing. There was a year, about 5-6 years back, actually about 10 years back, where two movies came out in the same year about Hercules, as is often the case, you know, Armageddon and Deep Impact coming out at the same time, because they're both about an asteroid hitting the Earth. The scripts go around Hollywood, and the same type of scripts usually end up getting picked up at roughly the same time. But one of these starred The Rock as Hercules.
Yes.
And the other one starred Kellan Lutz.
Who?
And exactly. I'm glad you don't know who that is. The main people who would probably know who Kellan Lutz is are people that are devotants to the Twilight series, because he's I guess somewhat major player in the Twilight series.
Oh, Oh, I don't know who that is.
That's fantastic. I am proud of you. I'm sad that I have to know who that is. Because I've seen those movies.
Well, I appreciate you keeping it from me, sir.
Times. Yeah, I've seen those movies so many more times than I ever want to in my life. It's an awful and terrible memory scarred into my brain forever. Anywho, same time frame, both movies come out, totally different stories of Hercules, completely different stories, totally mm-hmm. different takes on them. You have the animated movie of Hercules, which does depict some of his 12 labors, but in the original stories, there was no Philoctetes, the trainer of heroes, which I might add makes the ancient Greek stories a lesser thing than the animated movie, because the character of Philoctetes was amazing. I think people are just now beginning to respect it with the I don't know if you've noticed the renewed admiration for Danny DeVito as, I guess, an actor and a human being. People are now beginning to respect his role as Philoctetes even more.
Gained more popularity, especially in more recent years. Like at this point in his career, I feel like he's much more popular than he was back when he took that role.
I think the only time he's had this level of popularity is when he was back on Taxi, the TV series.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only other time he had this level of popularity. The fact there's petitions that have already been circulating that if they do a live-action version of Hercules, if Disney does it like they've done live actions of so many of their movies recently, right. If they do a live action, people have said you have to cast Danny DeVito as Philoctetes.
That would be amazing. That especially would be if could do absolutely it. Amazing.
Here's my thing. He needs to do it mocap.
Yes.
Make it a CGI character. Have him mocap it. And then when you release the Blu-ray, release the footage of him in the mocap doing everything.
If that's not done, I will be sorely disappointed. I'll still watch the movie.
To me, that's the only way that it makes it work. Here's just a funny side note. You're gonna find this amusing when I mention it. The character of Hercules is also the first character that Danny DeVito's twin brother Arnold Schwarzenegger played as an American actor, or at least as an actor in America, in Hercules Goes to New York.
Oh, you're right.
And of course, I'm referencing the movie Twins.
Yeah.
So that's a fun little, you know, Danny DeVito had already hung out with Hercules before he was Philoctetes. Hercules in New York gave Arnold Schwarzenegger, at least Arnold Schwarzenegger's body, his start in acting in America. His voice was overdubbed because his accent at that point was too thick. Funny little side note, he took voice and diction lessons after doing that movie, and he actually did so well in the voice lessons that he almost completely erased his Austrian accent, like it was almost gone, and he actually went back and had to put more of the accent back into what he was saying to make it more believable that it was his voice. And they give him that kind of just enough accent to make it identifiable, but not too much that he was incomprehensible. Yeah, he had taken away too much of his accent with his voice lessons. Funny little side note.
That's crazy. I did hear about. I do know one other little tidbit. This is kind of off the rails for a second, but if you wouldn't mind,
what?
I know a little tidbit about Schwarzenegger and the Terminator films. So. When the Terminator film was dubbed in German, they did not have Schwarzenegger cut his own lines. They tried. And the problem is that when they worked that out with test audiences, he wasn't intimidating sounding enough. Because his voice in German, out in that culture, he just sounds like a dopey farm boy.
Yeah. Well, that's what he was.
Yeah.
He was an Austrian farm boy.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it was. But the thing is that his, like, it's you know, equivalent to having
Matthew McConaughey try to be a Terminator.
Right. It just wouldn't work. His voice wouldn't work. So they had to actually have somebody else dub him so he sounded more intimidating out in Germany and Austria, which I always found really funny.
It'd be like, all right, all right, all right. I will be back.
Sarah Connor.
No, would be cooler if you were.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was a thing I knew.
that did take a little bit of a
sorry. Yeah.
There. All right.
I apologize for the left turn, but yeah, let's move on.
But I mean, I've seen various versions of there's the movie Troy about the Trojan War, and great liberties were taken in comparison to the original story that was presented in the Iliad of what happened at you know Troy. Of course, the Iliad being a mythological tale, people have tried to find proof that there was a real Troy at some point, and I've heard that it's been located in either Turkey or hell in England actually.
England.
There was one study that said that ancient Troy was actually in England, which did makes the, absolutely did, no sense. But whatever.
I was going to say, did the empire spread that far? Did they go that far out?
Well, no. The city of Troy was supposed to be on the Mediterranean Sea somewhere. So, like, Turkey makes sense. But yeah. No. The Greek city states were just on the Mediterranean. They did not have any. Those were barbarian lands to the north. They would have had nothing to do with the barbarian lands to the north.
Man.
But anyway. Whenever these tales get retold, I mean, I remember when there was a version of the Odyssey that was done back in the mid-90s with Armando Sante playing Odysseus. It was a TV movie. You know, it was stretched out over, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of, you know, 2 hours a night, you know, 2 hours a week or whatever. Hmm. This back when, you know, back when that's how they did things instead of put them on Netflix. And I remember even watching that when I was a preteen, teenager, whatever, the liberties that they took with the story of the Odyssey. I mean, this is Homer, man. This is like one of the first great writers that we have in Western culture, anyway, that we have his, you know, actual written stuff that he the stories that he, you know, told. This is one of the first that we have the historical documents of. Mm-hmm. And people are taking liberties with Homer. And it's like, you don't take no liberties with Homer, man. Homer wrote this stuff. And right. we see it with even the comic books of this era. They have taken mythologies and bent them to their will.
Yeah.
You have in the DC universe, the mythological gods of the DC universe are the Greek gods. Zeus is the father of Wonder Woman. Hercules is in the DC universe.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, then where the hell is he?
In the universe. Well, all he has is strength, so he's not, I mean, he's not really that, and he's the strongest man alive, but, like, Superman just, like, pinch him and crush him.
Right.
Because, like, that's, Superman can do that. He could be a demigod. It doesn't matter to somebody like Superman. But Zeus is there. Apollo is there. Yeah, I mean, Ares.
Wow.
Heck, in the Wonder Woman movie, that's who she fights is Ares. In the modern Wonder Woman movie, she fights Ares.
You're going to hate me. I have not gotten to see that yet.
Well, you have the Injustice games, right?
Yes.
Is Ares not a character in the Injustice games?
Not that I've gotten into and seen. I've seen, well, I played the first one and I don't remember Ares in the first one. Ares is in the first one. I got to play it again. Yep. It's been so long.
Now, I don't know if he's a character that's played as part of the story. I don't remember whether he's in the story or not.
Oh, but he exists. Like, he has dialogue and that kind of a thing. He's not like a character.
No, he's
that
like,
play.
He's like, well, I mean, it's the beauty of the Injustice games is it's a story and it's a fight game.
Right.
And the story is kind of a neat story to go along with just a standard, you know, fighting game. But when you're just doing like the fighting, if you're doing training or you're fighting against somebody else, yeah, Ares is totally a playable character.
Oh, wow.
Because
okay.
Because the Greek gods exist in the DC universe. And what's funny about that is that was a deliberate choice because the Marvel universe.
They have the Roman gods, don't they?
No, they don't.
Norse.
Norse. They're the Norse gods.
The Norse gods.
And they've taken liberties. Thor is a hero that is part of the Avengers, and of course, the dream of most women in existence at this point in time.
Yes.
In fact, I think one of my favorite references to that is in the Jay and Silent Bob reboot movie.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Smith's daughter is, as her character is talking about her love of Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
And how he could make her Thor all night long.
Yep.
Anyway, women absolutely love Hemsworth and love his depiction of Thor.
Right.
But if you actually go to the original Norse mythology, Thor is a drunken madman who goes on killing sprees on a regular basis. And basically, on sight, will kill any giant that he sees and is completely impossible to reason with. The only person that ever has the ability to reason with him is Odin. And even then, Odin has to have knockdown, drag-out fights because Thor is basically a berserker. He's just a crazy, drunken berserker warrior. He goes around killing giants, raping giants, killing their babies. I mean, he's just a nasty giant killing machine.
Wow.
And it's to most modern audiences, people who have not read Norse mythology, he's this wonderful, great, upstanding hero with an accent that sounds like he's so much more refined and better than everybody else. And he's got this set of morals, and he's not going to do anything bad or hurtful or harmful. And no, he's just a rage-fueled monster warrior. And in fact, the only time in more recent stuff I've ever seen his character done right, there was a New Zealand TV show called The Almighty Johnsons.
Okay.
And while it's got a great name anyway, would probably work perfectly well as an amazing porn, it was about a family of people living in New Zealand, the premise of which is that during the rise of Christianity throughout Europe, the Norse gods, which were actual living beings,
right,
had people stop believing in them, and they started losing some of their powers. But they were walking amongst the normal people, and suddenly, as the Christians were kind of spreading throughout Europe, the believers in the ancient Norse beliefs were being victimized, and the gods themselves were being hunted down. And so they fled to first Australia, but then New Zealand, and they lost the majority of their powers, but they had the ability for their god souls to inhabit like these human bodies that they had been in. And for this one family who were a part of, or not this necessarily this one family, but for this group of people, this Norse group of people that had come from Northern Europe and had settled in New Zealand, the gods on their 18th birthday, the gods' spirit would inhabit the various bodies, and they'd earn, or they'd have the ability to use some of these gods' powers.
Interesting.
And this one family, the Johnson family, every member of their family had one of the god spirits in them. And so they could somewhat, to some degree or other, use some of the powers that these god spirits had.
Interesting. Okay.
And eventually they would have to deal with the prevention of Ragnarok, the destruction of Earth.
Ah, okay.
By the Midgard serpent. Again, Norse mythology stuff.
Right.
But the way that they handled this is the main character, who is the youngest brother of this family of brothers, is the one who ended up eventually with the god spirit of Odin in him, but he was unable to tap into any of the powers really at will. They would just sometimes happen to him.
Whoa.
He would sometimes get the abilities of Odin. It was really weird.
Huh.
And they used some lesser known Norse deities, which is kind of nice. Hod, who is a god of ice. And I can't, you know, at the moment I can't remember all the names of the different ones. It's a great show. What they ended up happening is they ended up going to a rural area of New Zealand at one point or another,
mm-hmm.
trying to search out, Odin was trying to find, Frigga to mm-hmm. marry her. Cause that's basically part of what he's supposed to do.
Right.
And they have some inclination to go to this kind of rural area of New Zealand, and they come across this farmer who thinks his daughter is Frigga, but ends up she's not. But he is the re-embodiment of Thor. And he literally wields a regular, like, carpentry hammer.
Right.
But can, like, he can throw it through his property and kill, like, rabbits all throughout his property, which is, like, a big deal in New Zealand. Rabbits didn't exist there. They got brought there. They destroyed the ecosystem, left holes all place. Rabbits are an awful scourge in New Zealand. So, and in Australia. Because they're not indigenous to those areas. They were brought and then they destroyed the ecosystem, just like rats. But anyway, he is Thor, and no matter what, he is constantly angry at everything. And the only person that can ever calm him down is this young kid who's he's a young kid, but he's like really tall and skinny. But he's got the Odin spirit in him, so he's the only one that Thor ever listens to because he's Odin. But there's hilarity ensues because he's just a crazy – I mean, he's a crazy, drunken redneck, New Zealand redneck, though.
Right.
So, like, his accent still sounds better than American rednecks, but he's still a redneck.
Right.
And, I mean, just hilarious.
Dude, I got to see this film. I got to see this thing.
It's a series. It's not a film. It's a series.
Oh, I've got to see the series.
Yeah, it's got like 4 or 5 seasons. I will say, it's in New Zealand. It's set in New Zealand, like I said. So there's a whole lot of drinking. Like, they are constantly drinking beer. Like, okay. All the time. It's like, I really need to go to New Zealand because it looks like fun.
Yeah.
And then New Zealand is a little bit more lax on the things that they allow on their TV, including nudity and sex. So there's some nudity and sex in this. Just preparation for you.
Okay.
But I mean, you don't got kids to worry about seeing it, but it's there.
Right.
But it's hilarious series, but it's a whole different take on these mythological creatures and characters that we have in our, you know, in our ancient history of things. And that's the thing is, every time we see a new iteration of our modern mythologies, there are a lot of people that are resistant to these new iterations. The new Marvel movies, they didn't deal with Tony Stark's alcoholism enough, or they just finally, after 3 times, cast the right person to play Spider-Man, which that's true. They finally cast the right person. The first two were not really that good. But anytime there's even something that's the slightest bit different than the original time in the comics, it's like, oh no, I can't believe they did that. Well, I mean, you gotta imagine they've also changed up the comics at multiple intervals and multiple times, and they've gone different ways with the comics. Each time a new storyteller gets these mythological characters, they find a new way to tell these tales. You even have Neil Gaiman did American Gods, was a book that he wrote, and then it became an HBO or Showtime series, one of those paid networks did the series of it. Mm-hmm. And it takes mythologies from all over the world, with the idea being, if somebody believes in this mythological character, they're alive. And as long as they have somebody that believes in them, they exist and they have their powers. And so Odin is in it. Jesus is in it. There's a couple of new mythological characters that are based on technology that exist, and they've been created out of thin air because people worship various aspects of technology now.
Interesting.
There's a whole bunch. Yeah, American Gods is one definitely to look into.
Yeah,
it's wild. But The idea that your version that you fell in love with of a mythology should be the only version of the mythology kind of doesn't work that way. And I feel the same way when I hear people talk about, with me being the big Star Wars fan that I am, I hear people talk about the original movies are the only ones that count. And I was one of those people for a long time. Believe me, I was a basher of episodes 1, 2, and 3 for since they came out, basically. As long as I can remember from them. Well, since 2 came out. I loved 1 when it first came out.
Right.
Then 2 came out and ruined it for me.
Well, 1 was...
I'm being honest.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, 1 was okay. 2 was a little weird. I wasn't really a fan of 2 either.
1, they start Anakin as a little kid, and I'm like, okay, maybe they'll do better. And then 2, they just... There was a great disservice done to Hayden Christensen. It destroyed his career.
Yeah.
And destroyed the character of Anakin. And I think that's what was done in the animated series. I look at the animated series version of Anakin, and that's my Anakin. The movie version was not done well enough. I chalk it up to bad writing and bad direction, but that's a whole different story. But what it comes down to is, every time we have a new, like I say, a new version of these, a new iteration of these mythologies, these mythological characters, it's somebody else's spin and take on these characters.
Yes.
And honestly, this is not something new. This is not something like, oh, they're taking this thing that we love and destroying it. This has been happening since stories were being told. There are many mythological and religious stories that have multiple versions of the story because they're being told by multiple mouths. Each one has a slightly different tale on it.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
What to look at in that is this gives an added richness and flavor to a thing, because we're talking about mythology here. We're talking about mythological stories. And again, like I said, these stories of our lifetime, the comic books, hell, even something like some out of novels, Harry Potter, these are the mythologies of our time.
Yeah.
And I joke about the fact that Harry Potter is a centennial because he was born in 1980.
Right.
But is Harry Potter real, Mike?
No.
Is Wolverine real?
No, of course not.
Superman?
Nope.
The Flash?
Nope.
Luke Skywalker?
Nope.
None of these things are real. No. I mean, is Zeus real?
No.
I mean, well, I did see a post on Facebook the other day. I think you shared it. Light, a shaft of light coming down from the sky. That might be indication that Thor is real. But to the best of our knowledge, Thor is not real, right?
That was the craziest shit I have ever seen come out of the sky.
It's a freaky picture.
Yeah. But yeah, is Thor real? No.
Yeah. And these are all made up characters, made up things that if people make up more things with these made up things, that's just more of the creativity and interpretation. It's not like we're taking the real factual things, real factual events that happen. Actually, we do even do that. I mean, we take real historical actual people and build mythologies around them that don't exist and never did exist. Abraham Lincoln was never a vampire hunter. This didn't happen.
Let's take something that's slightly more grounded, the conspiracy that went around what the hell Jack the Ripper was doing and who he was. You know, he wasn't a mythological character. He was an actual serial killer.
If he was a he, but yes, there was an actual serial killer at that time.
Yeah.
Actually killing people. In London at that time, he wasn't some vampire, he wasn't some soul-sucking demon or anything. It was a real person just doing nasty things.
Yeah,
but that's the thing, is even real things, we do try to create some kind of mythology about it, but we also know the real truth.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, is with all these mythological things, we need to give people the freedom and ability and license to love the version of it that makes most sense to them.
Yeah.
And while it's not the version that you cling to or that you love, and it may be that one version of the mythology you don't like because it doesn't represent what you like about the mythology.
Yeah.
I am famous so far for the last year for hating the Joker movie.
Yes.
And the premise behind the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, because that does not represent to me what I have always seen of the character of the Joker.
And that's understandable.
That doesn't mean that somebody else can't love that Joker movie.
Right.
And I can say as much as I want to that they're wrong and they don't know what they're talking about. But the simple fact is they're wrong to me. They're not wrong to themselves. They have the version of it that they like, that they think is important, that they think connects with them.
Exactly. And here, if I may make a point, in addition to what you're talking about, these people that create these heroes that some find like that storyline or that character that some find so sacred that they could be not... that they cannot be changed in certain fundamentals. Those people that created those stories also changed those characters. This is why you have things the Crisis on Infinite Earths tale. Because
you can see different versions.
It's a retcon of things that were not that didn't fit within an aimed continuity, or that just where things became so convoluted that the people that wrote the stories had to go, okay, this happened, this didn't happen, now we can write and develop something. And they do that in every single comic book series or every single major mythological series in some way, shape, or form, regardless of the agenda that is behind it. Those stories continue to evolve, but they're mythological stories. There is no sacrilege that's happening here.
No, because again, it's like you say, it's mythology. These are things that these are stories that have been created by the minds of people. And as such, anything added to them or taken away from them are all part of the creation process.
Exactly.
These exist out in the ether of our minds.
Yes.
And that's kind of the beauty of it. And again, these kinds of things have been happening for centuries, millennia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This changing of stories. There are stories that you'll find pop up throughout various mythologies. Mm-hmm. Heck, the Romans just basically took all the Greek gods and just gave them different names.
Yep.
And they were the same damn things.
Oh, yeah. Yep. They did the same shit. They just called a couple of things different, and that was about it.
I mean, you have stories going as far back as the ancient Babylonian and Akkadian stories of the Epic of Gilgamesh, probably one of the first ever recorded mythological stories. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and read the Epic of Gilgamesh, the various things that happen within that story that translate into so many other religious and or mythological tales that happen afterwards show that many of these themes are recycled over and over again. Go and read yourself some Joseph Campbell and see these mythological archetypes that exist throughout many, many cultures, specifically Western, but even outside of Western culture, that these archetypes of these various characters that exist, and you see them throughout these cultures because they mean something to us on a personal level. They just the creation of the character, the way the character is designed, the way the character is set up, it tells us something immediately. We can identify with it. This guy, Joseph Campbell, just kind of codified it all, put it in a book, made it so that we can understand it. Inspired a young filmmaker to make Star Wars as a result of reading his book. And that's no hyperbole. That's literally what, I mean,
that's great.
Lucas was a student of Joseph Campbell, who was a college professor at the time, and used his archetypes as one of the kind of building blocks to create a new modern mythology, which is what he did with Star Wars. That was his intention, was to create that.
That's so amazing.
You know, people will dispute sometimes whether with the two big comic book companies, Marvel and DC, whether Marvel came up with a character before DC did, like Aquaman, right? Aquaman's main DC character that lives in the water, you know, talks to fishes, whatever.
Yeah.
Technically, he came after the character of Namor in Marvel. Namor was first. Aquaman came second.
Ah, that's right. Well, companies have borrowed ideas from each other and created other counterparts, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've done multiple times where they borrowed characters' abilities. I mean, you have the Flash, you have Quicksilver.
Yep.
And various speed people on both sides.
Yep.
Interestingly enough, I don't know if you know, but there Clark Kent is actually in the Marvel Universe. There is a character of Clark Kent in the Marvel Universe. He is not Superman, and he's actually only referred to by the name Clark. His full name is never referred to, but he is a journalist. And if you look at his picture in the Marvel set, he literally looks exactly like the DC Clark Kent.
Is he just a regular dude?
Just a regular journalist dude. In their universe, yeah.
That's fantastic. So they have a Clark Kent in the Marvel universe, and it's just like Superman doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's great.
There's no Superman.
That's fucking great.
But anyway, the point being, again, is I'm watching the CW series and seeing and thinking about the fact that, yeah, there's inconsistencies compared to what I've known in the comics and the way that it's been interpreted for. At the same time, it's the different inconsistencies that makes each individual story worth reading again. It takes these characters that had already done one thing and kind of throws a different version of it. And I think some of this had to come with age for me. I had to grow up a little bit and realize that my version of things isn't always the exact perfect right version of things.
Yeah.
And to also understand that I can still love the one version of things that I love. Like I can still love the version of Batman that never kills anybody. The version of Batman that if the Joker was falling off of a gigantic building, that version of Batman would still hook him up in one of his batarang things with a wire attached, and he'd just be hanging from it.
Yep.
Admittedly, my favorite part of the Dark Knight movie,
yep,
is the fact that you think the Joker's going to fall off a giant building again, because he did the last time he was in a Batman movie,
yep,
and no, he doesn't. He ends up hanging. But then, yep, you end up killing Harvey Dent, and so that kind of ruins the beauty of Batman doesn't kill the bad guy. Although, I do find it amusing that superheroes don't think of themselves as killers when they kill all of the henchmen.
Right.
Only when they kill the main bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just killed 20 of your henchmen, but I'm not a killer, so I'm going to let you live. It's like, what?
Yeah, that was the crazy part about
my henchmen are all dead.
Like, the fact that they had to edit that out so heavily was it Justice League or Batman v Superman? I think it was Batman v Superman. The fight with all of the henchmen. Even though his method, like the way that he did everything, was fantastic, dude, there was so much blood in that, yeah, scene in the director's cut, and it makes me more excited to see what Snyder does with the character.
But again, we do have to understand that that is a version of Batman that is beyond the version where he doesn't kill other people.
Right.
That's the version where he's had too much. He's done this for too long.
Yeah.
And now he's in the killing people game.
Yeah.
I mean, now he's got the guns attached to his
He's Batmobile a little
shooting things up.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a little more.
But I can even look back to the Tim Burton Batman.
He had guns in the car.
He had guns in the car. What do you call it? The bat plane? Was it the bat, yep, plane for that movie, or was it the bat wing?
I think it was called the bat wing. Still, okay. I think it was still called the bat wing.
I actually had that toy, full size toy.
You had the bat wing?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
but I also got to see that in the movie theater. So
I saw it at the drive-in.
Yeah, my uncle took me to the movie theater to see that when I was.
I saw it at a crappy drive-in too. Not like well, I was like way back, right? So they didn't like hook up, yeah, to your car stereo, and you didn't listen to it in the car radio system. You got the little tiny speaker.
Yeah, you got the crappy speaker.
Yeah, a little crappy speaker hangs on your door.
Yeah, I think I watched Rambo 3 and something else at the drive-in with one of those crappy speakers. My parents had a station wagon. I fell asleep in the back of it because both those movies. Rambo 3 at the time was boring to me. And now it's really interesting for all the political intrigue. Rambo
3. Yeah, but, right.
Then I could have cared less about it. It was another Rambo movie.
Yeah, that's one you got to see. That's one you got to see nowadays with like the original like text and stuff. You could find a VHS copy of Rambo 3 and yeah, watch that. Or holy smokes.
An old enough DVD copy still has it, because my, yeah, DVD copy still has the text at the end of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you don't know what that text is, search through our entire library of podcasts. We have talked about it on a podcast before. You just got to watch all of them or listen to all of them, and you'll find us referencing it.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm trying to get people to listen.
Well done.
They have to look for the secret gem.
Yep.
Have somebody sitting there. Damn it! I listened to like 30 hours of this already. I saw. Oh, there it is. They're talking about Rambo 3.
Oh. Yep.
But anyway, I think that encapsulates what I was trying to say for the night. Again, it's about what I'm doing now. When I am done here, I'm going to go, I think, eat food like I always do, because that's just what I do, is eat food and watch some more either Flash or Arrow. I'm not sure what the wife has on now.
That's amazing.
One of the two.
Right on,
hopefully,
man.
She'll be smart and balance between.
Yeah. Well, you enjoy your night, sir.
I will.
And I'm going to grab some food as well.
Are you playing video games?
Tonight, no. We have to do a bit of rearrangement. My living room has been an absolute mess because now, since we've started a second series, we have two consoles in the living room. And I know that doesn't sound like a mess, but we have two consoles hooked up to one recording system, and I have to flip back and forth between them. So I'm going to make something a little bit more.
What do you have consoles hooked up to recording systems for? What are you doing?
Oh, well, I am also part of a video series right now called Chronosode Games on YouTube. We actually do playthrough videos on YouTube, and we do them in chronological order of the timeline of the series. So we started a second series.
Okay.
We've been doing the Zelda series, so we started with Skyward Sword, and now the new one is the Red Dead series, which is, by the way, very, very fun. Way fun. Like, I'm having way more fun than I thought I would. But it's total, like, everything that you remember from old badly acted spaghetti westerns back in the day, with your protagonist very obviously modeled after Clint Eastwood. It's it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is, again, this is Chronosode Games. It's on YouTube.
Yes.
It's also a Facebook page. You do this with your wife, right?
Yes. My wife, Tasha, and I.
You're doing the gameplay right now, but and she's doing commentary and telling you to do better when you suck.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much what happens for the most part. Yeah.
It's quite often.
But we talk about things like theories behind stuff, or we talk about the timeline and who is involved with what, and then we just sit there and play the game and have fun and watch the story unfold.
Yes, attempt to read the dialogue in funny voices and fail quite dramatically. Both of you need to remedial reading classes.
Oh man! Did you see the one that we're recording this on Wednesday. This is going to come out tomorrow morning.
I have not watched the recent one yet. I didn't have opportunity yet today, where you have a supposedly celebrity guest voice.
You're going to cringe so hard.
I probably will. Is this? I'm not even going to ask. I know it's probably one of you two making up a voice, and so it's probably going to be awful.
one of the main villains of the series shows up, and we have a celebrity guest voice. So,
oh god, I think I already know who you might be trying to do. I'll say after we're done here, okay. So as not to spoil anything. Okay. But anyway, so that's watched on YouTube, right?
That is watched on YouTube. Yes.
On YouTube. And then also on YouTube, people can find you doing your Ruling Note music videos, which is Mike giving people information on music recording, music history.
Yeah.
Things in general, music. So if you like listening to Mike and you want to learn something about music, interesting things too. I mean, you learn things about that are connected to music, but you don't think are connected to music. Like you can watch one of his videos and learn about Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Because he's connected to music.
Yes,
very
he
heavily,
is.
In fact.
Holy smokes, he's really closely connected to one of the biggest music, rock bands in history.
Exactly. The music that you think is, that music is way too happy. You can't be connected to Charles Manson. Oh, yes, yes.
Until you freaking read the lyrics, my God.
But anyway, so find Mike there. If you like listening to him here, find Mike at Ruling Note Music. Find him at Chronosode Games. But Mike, where are people going to find us?
Well, if you're listening to us right now, you're probably listening to us on the website, thezennialchronicles.com. Or if you don't want to type that much the next time you visit us, zenchron.com. It's spelled Xenchron. Speaking of Zenchron, you can also find us on our socials. We are also on Facebook and on Twitter. Are other places that you might be hearing this podcast. If you have any of your other podcast platforms, look us up. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on TuneIn. We are on Google and all that kind of fun stuff. And I believe I heard... Okay, so I heard recently that Google Music is supposed to be going away and it was going to be YouTube Music. So maybe it's another YouTube thing that might be going on with YouTube Music. I have no idea if they're going to be doing YouTube podcast or not. But if they're not, you can still find us on YouTube. If you search for The Zennial Chronicles on YouTube, you can find our entire archive of every single one of our podcasts there and listen to everything and go search way back and find that Rambo reference we just talked about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. And if you do see us on YouTube, you do watch us there, subscribe. Because we like people subscribing to us.
Yes.
And then like the stuff. Also, click the little bell thing. You have to click the bell. Because if you don't click the bell, you won't know when we do new stuff.
Exactly.
You click the bell, and you get like notification. Hey, those two guys just put out new things. Yep. I'm going to go listen.
And that
push
is
the button to do the thing, right?
That's kind of our tagline now. Push the button to do the thing.
Yeah, I got that. I got that.
Yeah.
Push the button to do the thing.
Yeah.
Also, do the thing right.
Yes.
But anyway, thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed. And we will be back again for another interesting discussion next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.